He who cleansed me from all spot, satisfied this lusty man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ, receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ, receive a sinful man. Christ, receive a sinful man. Even name me with all my sins. Pierce him every sin and stain. Heaven with him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ, receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ, receive a sinful man. We'll have a word of prayer at this time, and then Brother Bob will come and speak for us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how do we thank you that you are God and there's none else. You reign in heaven and on earth, and there's none like unto you. And we bow before your holiness, thanking you for all your blessings you give us. Forgive us, Lord. We're such sinners. We transgress your law every day. We need purging. We need to come to you. We need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness. And we just pray, Father, you'll wash us clean this morning, that we can walk with you this morning, that we can hear your word. We pray that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be lifted high today, that sinners, as the song says, would be received by Jesus Christ. He would receive them. We pray that they would be convicted. They would hear your word. It is spoken this morning, and it will come alive, and it will make them thirsty, and they will be hungry, and they want to be filled. That's our prayer, Father. We pray for this day. We thank you for our Lord and Savior. Not only was he born, but he was buried, and he raised again the third day. He ever liveth, and he sits on a throne reigning. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings you give us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Glad to see everyone here this morning. I pray for those that are not able to be here. Sister Manette is feeling better, but she's not able to be here. Pray for her. Pray for those that have been feeling down some. Pray for Brother Gene. Lord bless him, and he'll be able to make the trip. Got message from Therese. She sends everybody her greetings, and she'll be, Lord willing, she's going to be in Louisiana in the middle of July now, not the end of July, so that's a little bit better. And she's excited. She's looking in Thibodaux. That's Mississippi, Tupelo. Someplace like that. Thibodaux. She's looking in Thibodaux for a place to live. That's a little closer to church and still not too far from her work. So, you're looking forward to that. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start with this one. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We ask that you would speak to us, Lord. I don't have anything to offer, but Lord, that you would speak to us. We'd hear from you and you'd be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
By the death of our Lord, atonement was made for sin. For the sin of all that he took with him. All the souls for whom he died. He died in our place. So in a very real sense, we died with him. He took us to the cross with him. He died in our place. And in his resurrection, that work is completed. It is proven to be acceptable. I mentioned in the conference in Oakdale how the priests would go in and offer the daily sacrifice. And there was a reason for the ornate clothing that they wore, the all of the decorations, and at the hem of the garments there were bells. And those bells would ring as they moved around. And they'd go behind basically the curtain. And they would make the offering. But you see, those priests were men. And there was always the concern that the offering wouldn't be accepted. If there were sin, unrepentant of sin in the lives of those priests, the Lord might not accept that offering. And as they heard them move around and the bells ringing, well, they were at peace. They said, oh good, the sacrifice is being accepted. And then they'd come out, and that was proof that the Lord accepted the sacrifice. Well, of course, our Lord was a man, but he was a perfect man, and Hebrews, and I do desire one day to look at Hebrews, to study it. I think that a verse-by-verse study of Hebrews is more difficult, much more difficult than a verse-by-verse study of the book of the Revelation. In fact, it was so difficult that many translators, now not the ones that translated the King James Version, but many in other languages, even that were honest to the same texts that were used to translate the King James Version, they were so confused by the book of Hebrews that they didn't even know where to put it in order. Some of them put it like the last book before the book of the Revelation. I mean, it was pretty clear the book of the Revelation would probably be the last one, right? That sort of sums, that's the end of the book. But they didn't know where to put it. They kind of put it off because they didn't know what to do with it. It's a very difficult book because it takes all of the Old Testament pictures of Christ and melds them together, sort of creates one book where you've got the Old Testament pictures and New Testament doctrine. And so it's not easy. It's not even the same as going through and just taking all the pictures in the Old Testament and showing them independently, expressing what they stand for and how they relate to us. But it is taking a full body of at least soteriology and even more Christian life and blending it with the doctrines of the Old Testament. It is intentionally that way. It is to teach the Hebrews. Paul wrote it to teach the Hebrews who were familiar with the Old Testament, familiar with the ways of the Old Testament, to teach them how all of that relates to Christ and to a Christian life. And see, that's a very difficult thing to do. Obviously, God did it and he did it right. But it's extremely hard for us to look at these things because we, A, don't have that background. We're not Hebrews. We don't, yes, we can read about the Old Testament pictures, and yes, we can say, so here's A, and we can kind of take it out, not out of context, but just take one picture and view it by itself and try to understand it in context with the Bible, but not as a whole, because we just don't think that way. So we have to look at Hebrews like a Hebrew, and we're not. All we can do is try to understand. A lot of things in the book of Hebrews are completely confused by the Gentile world because they don't try to look at them like the Hebrews did. And we'll do that. My point, though, in all of that is this. The sacrifice was understood by the Hebrew. In all of its depth, it is necessary that a sacrifice be accepted. See, we don't even think of that. Not normally. I mean, you know, Christ came to do it, and we understand that he made the sacrifice. To the degree we can, we understand that in our place, he suffered. But we always try to use analogies that relate to us, which is natural. But we don't understand that the Hebrew mind was always concerned that the sacrifice would be accepted. Why those bells when they were walking around in there? Well, what is it that relates to that? What is it in the sacrifice of Christ that proves to us God accepted that sacrifice? Because let's face it, if he didn't, we have no hope. I mean, he may have made the sacrifice, but we need to know it was accepted. His death would have been of no avail for us. His work would have been incomplete if he had not been raised from the dead. Right. Now you might say, well, I don't understand that. Why is that? How is it that his being, I mean, he lives anyway. What if he had just done what he did, paid for our sins, and he could have just, you know, they could have opened up the tomb and it was empty, he descended, it's over. Just as the priest proved to the people that the sacrifice was accepted, with the bells jingling during his making the sacrifice and then his coming out. The priest never stayed behind the veil. He didn't go about his business and go out the back door. He always came out where the people could see him so they would know God accepted the sacrifice. Now, that's just a picture. We understand that. None of those sacrifices availed for the forgiveness of sins. But Christ's sacrifice did. And proof of that was he emerged. He came out and proved himself. He rose again and showed to the world the sacrifice that he made for our sins was acceptable to God.
Amen.
Now his death was the payment. His burial was where our sins were taken and put away, but his resurrection is to our eternal life, for it is proof that God accepted the sacrifice.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. One thing it makes clear in the book of Hebrews, the men that were high priests were just men. And they had to make a sacrifice for their own sin. But Christ, and they had to make sacrifices repeatedly, even for their own sin, those men did. But Christ made one sacrifice,
yes,
having no need to make a sacrifice for himself, for his perfect holy God.
Right.
And then he rose again as proof to us that that sacrifice was accepted and we can have faith in it.
Amen.
All right, we'd always kind of worry. The world, even those that believe, that trust, but always have some doubt because, I don't know, how do we know it was accepted? Just like they knew that sacrifice was accepted when the priest offered that sacrifice and came out again, Christ rose from the grave and showed himself that all that trust in him would know for a fact it was accepted. Now you can have faith, complete faith. Now I understand faith is a gift of God, and no one can believe except that God gives them that gift. But we can rely upon that. Having received the gift of God, we can rely upon the sacrifice of Christ because he rose again victorious over sin and death. The sacrifice was accepted. It is absolutely certain. Now, the work was finished on the cross. That is, the payment was finished on the cross. Christ called out, "It is finished." But proof to us was the empty tomb. More than that, absolute proof to us was that he showed himself alive, victorious.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death." He conquered sin and death. If he didn't rise, how would I have any hope that I might rise?
Right.
Or be raised by him? If he didn't rise from the dead, how would I have confidence that he was victorious over death and the grave, sin? But I know, because he rose from the dead, victorious over all sin and all death, even though I know he only died for those that God gave him, he was master over, victorious over sin and death. Either in that he will one day punish sin, and having absolute power over death, condemn those that die in their sins to eternal death, eternal existence, but an eternal dying in the lake of fire, or having had victory over sin and death, conquered it and defeated it and destroyed it for all that believe. For all for whom he died. His resurrection was proof that his work was accepted by the Father.
Yes.
What he had done in order that sinners might be saved, was approved. God said, it is sufficient. That does it. That'll absolutely suffice.
Yes.
Complete payment made.
Amen.
It is amazing to me. And I'm even normally I'm not surprised when the religious world does something silly or believes something silly, but this even surprises me. To believe that Jesus Christ died for every soul, but some of them will die and go to hell. Well, I guess his sacrifice was not sufficient. I guess God didn't accept it. I guess there was something lacking from his sacrifice by their standards. If he died for every human soul and one soul is in hell, it wasn't enough. Something is lacking. You had to do something else. You had to add to it. A little spice. You know, sometimes you taste food and it's bland. It's just not acceptable. But you add a little spice and, well, that'll do. Just a little spice. So just a little bit of man's work. Just a spice, just to make it acceptable. That's not what took place. If anyone goes to hell, it is because Christ did not die for their sins. Couldn't have. It's a ridiculous concept to believe that Jesus died for their sins. Well, some will say, well, he died for all their sins, but... Well, he didn't die for all their sins. And here's the problem. It doesn't change the sovereignty of God. It doesn't change, it doesn't grant man anything. Well, if he died for all of the sins of every human soul, but not for one sin, he did not die for the sin of unbelief. Well, God still then had to grant faith. And it's still the ones that God grants faith to that will be saved. So why would Jesus die for people he knew were going to go to hell? I mean, that makes even less sense. Why is it then that anyone would go to heaven? Well, you know, they believed they were lucky enough or smart enough or holy enough or just, I don't know, just a chance. They believed. Well, it's then of man. And Jesus didn't do anything to benefit anyone. He didn't save anyone. Well, he did everything except. Well, then everyone's going to die and go to hell. Because there is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. No payment's been made. If the sin of unbelief is the only sin left, if that soul had ever not believed,
right,
even if it believed later,
yeah,
it's guilty. Man can't pay for his own sin. That's just absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it is worse than believing it's all of you. Because it's saying what Jesus did was okay, but not enough. It was either everything. You know, and isn't it crazy? Arminians love the song, Jesus Paid It All. But they do not believe he paid it all. Now, I'm talking about real Arminians. And most people are just that say they believe all of that, they don't believe that. They don't, they're caught up in the world, or they're just caught. You ever heard someone who claims they believe that it's man's choice pray? Lord, would you save that? They pray the same way I pray. Lord, would you save that soul? Mm-hmm. That's not an Arminian prayer. If they really believed it was man's choice, they would pray, Lord, let me just have a silver tongue and be able to influence that person, or let that person get it and make their own decision. No, they pray, Lord, save that soul. But the true Arminian that truly believes it is man's efforts, he must then believe it is all of man, or dishonor Christ. Yeah. Christ would have had to say, well, I'm just not doing anything. It's up to them. You got yourself in this mess, now you get yourself out of it.
I'm sure you believe
that. But God didn't do that. He died on the cross and paid. He either paid for all or none of your sins. And the proof that he paid is in the fact that he rose again. What he had done in order that sinners might be saved was given God's stamp of approval. Our justification and our resurrection therefore become certain. It says he rose for our justification. It was done and proved and approved by the Father. A certain salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, I've heard a lot of preaching that is really sovereign grace preaching, and people preaching don't even know it is. And to be fair, they're just preaching the Bible, and they believe Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins. Never considered any of these other things, and God hasn't shown it to them. I have no trouble with that kind of preaching. I know some people that would just hate election and predestination, but they cannot stand easy believism. They say, God has to take hold of your heart and change you. Well, that is exactly what we believe. They just don't get it, and I have no problem with their salvation, with their condition of their heart. I fear for those who truly believe that Jesus did not do it all and left something to man. That would say that. Those people wouldn't say that. Now, they wouldn't put it all together and say, therefore, you know, he only died for those the Father gave him, because otherwise, you know, they don't follow through because the Lord hasn't shown it to them. That is not an Arminian. That's just a believer that the Lord has not shown these things to, made it clear to them. I don't have any problem with that at all. I am glad when men preach that Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of all who believe.
Yes. Amen.
And that they would say it is all of the Savior. And they would sing Jesus paid it all and believe it.
Yes.
I'm glad for that. Yes. I don't have any problem with that. I know that there is more, but it's just possible. Now, I don't know. I could be wrong, and that would make me, you know, mean I don't know everything anyway. But it's just possible I don't know everything. But what the Lord has shown me is all the Lord. And so, what the Lord has shown them is all the Lord. And I, if they are faithful to that, I can rejoice in it. But the Lord never showed anybody a lie. See, there's a difference between not seeing everything, not understanding all of it, not putting the pieces together, and believing a lie.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus paid it all. And he rose again to prove that God accepted that payment. Proof to me, to all the world. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Because you don't know God accepted it. I do know God accepted it because he did rise. The Father raised him up and he rose himself. How can that be? Because there's only one God. Christ said, I am the Father of one.
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. God did accept this. It is truly certain, his resurrection. It is the mainspring of our hope. It is our hope that what he did paid for our sins completely. It is our hope that we will be raised with him.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Appearing. He appeared to them after he rose. And he will appear again. It is our hope that God accepted the sacrifice, our certain hope, our absolute faith that Christ paid for our sins, and it is our also certain hope that we will be raised at that day. We know it. We know them both to be true. Why? Because of his appearing. Because of his appearing that has not yet come, but will certainly come. We know this because the Spirit of God seals this truth in our heart. And because he appeared after he died to show that God had accepted the sacrifice. It's springtime. There's a lot of allergies, so... Sorry. God hath begotten us again to a lively hope. A living hope, an active hope, a true hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's 1 Peter again. Thus the fact that he was raised is proof. I can trust and know that God accepted the sacrifice and that we shall be raised and accepted by God. Raised up.
Yes.
I mean, the final hurdle is what? when we get into heaven, are we going to get in? Well, there's no gate that, you know, we're apparently, by somebody's fable, Peter's going to stand there with a list and say, oh, I'm sorry, you took the wrong elevator.
Yeah.
Wrong way. You don't get in. That's nothing like that. We cannot even enter into the kingdom of God except that his resurrection availed for us, and we cannot remain in the kingdom of God in a body except that it be flesh and bone and perfect. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be acceptable, which means the sacrifice had to be accepted. And our resurrection is further proof of that, or a further step of that. For he raised from the dead. He rose, and he rose in a perfect, righteous, glorified body, flesh and bone, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 15.
Right.
And we too shall receive that body.
Yep.
We shall have a body. In fact, the Bible says we shall be like him. Clearly, we won't be like him in that we're God, because we won't be God. We'll still be the creature, the creation, and he's still the creator. But we shall be like him in that we shall see him as he is. We shall see him in his glorified body. We shall have a glorified body. His resurrection in every way is proof to us, is hope to us. It is proof to us that God accepted the sacrifice. It is proof to us that we shall live forever. And it is proof to us that God will accept us in heaven.
Yes.
In this eternal life.
Amen.
We'll look at just a couple scriptures and we'll close. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I am certain of it. Why was he persuaded? Because Christ rose. He appeared and he will appear.
Amen.
The resurrection and our resurrection. His resurrection is our hope past. Our resurrection in him is our hope future. And not I hope the bus will come hope. But it is a certain and absolute hope.
Yes.
In both cases, it's things that we believe by the grace of God, by the gift of God, we trust in. We take the witness of the Word of God that it did happen and that it will happen. But it is our certain hope. We have no doubt of it. It is how we know we have eternal life and how we know we shall always have eternal life. Didn't Jesus say in John, and I shall raise them up again at the last day? Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. course, we know that's a reference to what's going to come at the end of the time of Jacob's trouble. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Yes. I know that by his resurrection, and I know I have a coming resurrection. Let's all stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and take a break before we have Sunday school. Father, we ask that you would just teach us the truth of your word, that this great hope, which is your resurrection, and that we will follow in that resurrection.